الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continuing our studies in As-Sirah An-Nabawiyyah, the prophetic biography, the biography of our beloved and noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we have seen that the revelation has begun, and it began in the cave of Hira on the day of Al-Ithnain, on Monday, Naam, and the angel Jibril came to him and brought him the first revelation, which was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, these first five verses, and we've seen some benefits with regards to that, Alhamdulillah. And likewise, after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he received, or with this, and likewise with this here, this revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he received an-nubuwwah, he received prophethood, salawatullahi wasalamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. Naam, and then after this, the revelation, it stopped for some time. About how long? How long did it stop? 2 years? 3 years? A few days. Several days. We don't know exactly how many days. Some people of knowledge mention 30, others 40, some 10. But wallahu alam, others mention just a few days. And this has been narrated from Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma. And this is what is correct. It was several days. Several days, and then another revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after he saw the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in the sky. He's very big. What was that revelation that came? Al-Mudathir, ya ayyuha al-Mudathir. The first seven verses of Al-Mudathir were revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and with this revelation he became a messenger. He received ar-risala and messengership, and he was ordered to call the people. At this time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began to call the people, and the first man to accept Islam, and the first woman, and the first boy, and the first freed slave, Zayd ibn Haritha, and the first slave, Bilal, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. And then what happened? Abu Bakr, whenever he accepted Islam, what did he start doing? He started calling the people to Islam, and calling so many people to Islam, and they accepted Islam. From those who accepted Islam at the call of Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu. From those who accepted Islam at the call of Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman ibn Affan. Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Wa Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Wa Sa'id ibn ibn Zayd. Wa Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Radiyallahu anhum jami'an. Almost all of those 10 who were given glad tidings of paradise in one hadith. Naam, almost all of them accepted Islam at the call of Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu. Likewise, others accepted Islam as well. Like who? In the very beginning, Uthman ibn Maz'un and his two brothers. And likewise, somebody great, somebody who was very strong on the sunnah, and he memorized the whole Quran from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Also, he accepted Islam in the beginning. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he accepted also Islam in the beginning. And also somebody else, Abu Dharr. Naam, radiyallahu anhu. And there were others also who were accepting Islam. At this time, people started accepting Islam one after another. One from this family, and one from that family, and from this tribe, and from that tribe. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is calling the people. He's calling the people and he's striving to call the people to Islam. But how is the call at this time? Is he calling everybody? Did he call everybody and gathered all of Quraysh together and called them all? No, he's calling them secretly and privately. He's calling them here and there, but one-on-one and individually. And he's not calling all of the people out loud and the likes like this, but he's calling them left and right. One by one, he's calling the people, and his companions are calling the people. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was taught how to make wudu and how to pray. All of these affairs, they have proceeded. All of these affairs, they have proceeded. At this time, whenever more people start accepting Islam, the mushrikun, they don't like that. The mushrikun, they don't like that. Quraysh, they didn't like that. The Muslims, they're getting stronger. More of them are listening to the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called all of them. He called the white one and the black one, and he called the young one and the old one sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he called the free one and the slave one. He called the one who had a noble lineage and that was very strong in society and wealthy, and also he called the poor and the weak and those who were slaves, and one from here and one from there. They're all accepting Islam and following the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believing in him and complying to his orders and following him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Quraysh, they are not liking the growth of this new deen amongst them, how they're getting stronger and stronger, especially whenever the revelation is coming and clarifying the falsehood of the way of Quraysh and the way of their forefathers and the falsehood of shirk and the falsehood of the other religions and the other ways. And at this time, Quraysh, they started to harm the believers. They started to harm the believers. But from those who accepted Islam, there are those who had strong friends and family in the tribe of Quraysh. And others, they were slaves or freed slaves, and they had no family members. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had somebody from Quraysh that protected him. Who was that? Abu Talib. Abu Talib, although he was not a believer, he was not a Muslim, but he loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he defended him and he protected him. And also Abu Talib, who was he amongst Quraysh? Just somebody else in the tribe? Huh? Well, he was very, very well known, and he was one of their leaders, and he was highly respected. He was highly respected. And because of this, nobody would do anything to make Abu Talib mad or to disrespect him, because he's known in his tribe with high rank and status. And he is known in his tribe and he's respected and loved. So he used to protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's calling the people here and there, and nobody can bother him. Nobody can touch him. Nobody can harm him physically. Because if they did, then they're going to have to deal with Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, he has a tribe that's backing him, and he has many people that love him and respect him. So for this reason, Quraysh was not able to get to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically. You understand that? And likewise, this is some wisdom that we see in the fact that Allah never guided Abu Talib. Allah, he never guided Abu Talib to Islam. Rather, Abu Talib, he stayed a disbeliever. He stayed a disbeliever, even though he's seen the truth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how good his deen was. He remained a disbeliever. And from the mushrikeen, and from the wisdom behind that, is so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will still have protection. And that Quraysh will still have respect for him. Do you understand that? Still have respect for Abu Talib. And then if they have respect for Abu Talib, then they cannot touch the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Abu Talib, he loves Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was protecting him. Abu Bakr likewise, and some of the other radiallahu anhu, they had some of the other companions, they had family members and they had tribesmen, and they're well known in their tribes, and nobody would mess with them either, because if they mess with them, they're going to have to mess with their tribe, because they had this relationship like that. That if somebody bothered their one family, then the whole family is going to come back and get them. So then they wouldn't bother some of the companions, because they had tribesmen and they had family members and they had people from their tribe that would protect them at this time in the early days of Islam. But there were other people who did not have any family members, and they are not from Quraysh. They were either from the freed slaves, or they were from outside of the tribes, or they were slaves themselves. And these companions, they were harmed greatly. They were harmed greatly. And from them, Bilal, radiallahu anhu, and he was a slave. And the Quraysh, they used to try to make him disbelieve. And they used to take him in whenever they found out he was a Muslim. They used to take him in the sun, in the desert, at the dhuhr time, and put him out in the ground, and make him lay there in the heat. Make him lay there in the heat. That's so bad, right? And this is a punishment. They would beat him up and harm him, and then they put him out inside the sun in the middle of the desert and make him lay there. And then after that, they wouldn't even finish. They did even more than that. After that, they would go put heavy rocks on him, big rocks on his chest, and make him pressed on the hard, on the hot, hot ground. And they'll tell him, disbelieve. Say that Lat is your God, and say this, and say that you disbelieve, and say this. And you know what he would say? Ahad, ahad. Ahad, ahad. He would say, I believe in Allah alone. I believe in Allah alone. And they were harming him. And they were harming the believers like this. And there are other people likewise, like Amr ibn Fuhayra. And likewise, like Zinnira. And there were other companions who also, they were like slaves, or they were freed slaves, and they were weak. And the Quraysh, they're harming them because they're Muslims. They're harming them because they wouldn't worship idols. And they're harming them because they wouldn't follow the bad way. They only followed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know what? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, every time he would be going by somewhere and he would see those people getting harmed for their deen, and he would see the people harming and torturing the Muslim slaves, you know what Abu Bakr would do? Radiallahu anhu, he would see him, there's a slave, he's harming those slaves over there. He would go over there and say, this your slave? They say, yeah, that's our slave. Oh, really? I want to buy him. How much can I buy him for? Oh, this much. Here you go. He would buy him. Now he's not their slave anymore. Now he's Abu Bakr's slave. Now he's Abu Bakr's slave. You know what Abu Bakr would do whenever he got him as his slave? Freeze. He would say, okay, you're free now. You're not a slave no more. I set you free. And he would do this to many of the slaves. He would buy them with his own money and from the bad people, because they're getting harmed and they're getting tortured very bad. And then Abu Bakr, he would buy them, and then he would set them free. And he did this with many of the slaves, from them Bilal, and also his mother Hamama, and also Amr ibn Fuhayra, and also Abs, and also Zinnira, Wal Hindiya, and her son, and also another woman. He would, many of them, not just one person. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is very, very kind, and he loved the Muslims. Naam, and he was very upright, and he believed in Allah, and his faith was strong, and he gave his money away to help the believers. If he seen the believers being hurt and he could help them, he would help them, and he would give his money away, radiallahu anhu, and he would buy them. And then he wouldn't keep them, he would set them free. Something about in those days, they had slaves. The people who used to set slaves free, the one who is a slave, and then somebody sets him free, that he becomes a mawla. That means that he has a relationship with that man. That man who set him free did him a great favor and a blessing, so now they have a bond. They have a bond like this. And the one who sets the slave free, that one that used to be a slave, he becomes from him, like, kind of like from his tribe, but not from his tribe from lineage, but from his tribe from al-wala, meaning he's attached to him. And that person that's set free, he loves the one who set him free, because he's the one who set him free and let him be a free man and took him out of slavery. And he would help him and do many good things for him out of respect. So a lot of people, if they set somebody free, they would set the strong ones free, and the ones that were very beneficial, and the ones that were strong and could protect him and help him. But Abu Bakr, who is he setting free? He's setting all these weak slaves free. These weak slaves, they can't defend themselves, they can't help nobody, they're very weak, and the likes like this. And his father, Abu Quhafa, his father, the father of Abu Bakr, his name is Abu Quhafa, Uthman ibn Amr, he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, oh my son, I see you setting all these weak slaves free. Why don't you set some strong slaves free so they can protect you and help you, so they'll be strong and defend you? Why are you, if you want to set slaves free, at least pick the strong ones. You understand his thinking? You want to set some people free, then you want to give people free, make them free from slavery, then pick the strong ones. That way they'll be able to help you and they'll be able to protect you and they'll be strong. But I see you always picking the weak ones. Why do you pick the weak ones? They can't even help you. And Abu Bakr, you know what he said? Uridu ma uridu.
I want what I want. I want what I want. Meaning I know what I'm doing. And I know what I'm looking for. What is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu looking for? He's looking for the pleasure of Allah. He's looking for the pleasure of Allah. Naam, so he used to purify his soul. He used to purify himself and purify his deeds radiallahu anhu by setting the slaves free. And this is a sign that from the means of purifying our souls is to give charity. And from the means of purifying our souls is to help the believers and to help the Muslims. And this is something that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was upon. So he would set the freed slave, he would set the slaves free, any of the weak ones especially. And others, they were not slaves, but they were being harmed likewise. And there was a family, the family of Yasir, their Alu Yasir radiallahu anhum. And Yasir, he had a wife, her name was Sumayya. And likewise, they had a son, his name is Ammar. And Ammar and his family, they were tortured greatly. And they were weak, and they didn't have anyone to protect them from the people or from the tribesmen and the likes like this. And they were always getting tortured very bad. And they were getting harmed very bad. And even sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would see them. He would see them being tortured and they were being beat up. And they would tell Ammar to say something bad about Prophet Muhammad. Say something bad about him. Talk bad about him, and he would refuse. And they would hurt him and hurt him and hurt him. And he would refuse until he couldn't even refuse no more because it hurts so bad he would say it. And then they would say that Lat is your God. Say Lat is your God. Say that you worship Lat. Say Lat is your God. And he would refuse and refuse until it became so bad and they would hurt him and then he would say it. And they would say other bad things to him. And even like a bug would roll by, a filthy beetle bug would roll by, and they would say that's your God, say that's your God. You know, trying to belittle them. And so that he would worship other than Allah. And they would not do it, and then it would become so hard. Until the fact that they would say that, and then Ammar, he feels so bad that he said these things, and he would go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would tell him, they made me say this, they hurt me until I couldn't resist no more, and I had to say this, am I still a Muslim? He's worried about his faith. He's worried about his faith, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, how did you feel inside your heart? How did you feel inside your heart? He said, no, I hate to say that word, and I believe in Allah. And he said, then if they say that to you, if they do that to you again, then you do the same thing. Meaning it's okay at this time if somebody is forced to say some bad words and they don't even believe in it, but they're harmed. So the thing is that at this time, the believers, they're weak and they're being punished so bad that they're punishing Ammar and his father, Yasir, and likewise his mother. And then Abu Jahl, he came. Abu Jahl, he came. And then he stabbed Sumayya radiallahu anha with a spear and killed her. Because she was a Muslim. Because she was a Muslim. Abu Jahl, he came and he did that to her. And she is the first believer to die for her faith, for their faith. And she was a woman. And she did not give up her faith and she did not compromise her deen. Rather, she was strong and she was firm all the way until they killed her for that. And this is in the beginning of Islam. And the believers, they went through much hardship and difficulty. And this is from the blessing of Allah upon them, that they were steadfast and they were firm. And that they were strong in their faith, and they believed, and they did not shake in the face of trials. Radiallahu anhum. And this is why Allah is pleased with them, and He's praised them in more than one place in His book. Those believers, those first and foremost, from those who believed. In these days, it was hard on them. In these days, it was hard on them, but they were steadfast. Radiallahu anhum. After the harm became so much, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he allowed for them to make hijrah. He allowed for them to make hijrah. With regards to our timeline and that which we are studying now, there are two very important narrations that we want to remember and try to memorize and at least know and be aware of. The first one is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbasin radiyallahu anhuma. He said, بُعِثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً.
that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent as a prophet at the age of 40. فَمَكَثَ بِمَكَّةَ ثَلَاثَ عَشْرَةَ سَنَةً يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. And he remained in Mecca for 13 years while receiving revelation. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِالْهِجْرَةِ. And then he was commanded to migrate. فَهَاجَرَ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. And he migrated for 10 years. وَمَاتَ وَهُوَ بْنُ ثَلَاثٍ وَسِتِينَ. And he died whenever he was 63 years old, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is important here for our timeline to understand the time of revelation. That he was at the age of 40, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he received revelation. This is included here. The revelation included all of the types of revelation. All of the types of revelation. And how did the revelation begin? How did the revelation begin? In the hadith of Aisha. Radiallahu anha. How did it begin? Al-ru'ya as-saliha. The righteous and true correct dreams. Naam. All of this is included. Naam. So at 40 years, he received revelation and he stayed in Mecca for 13 years. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, receiving revelation. For 13 years, receiving revelation. Naam. So how, and then after that, he was commanded to make hijrah. So how old was he whenever he made hijrah? Huh? He began at 40, he spent 13 years. Huh? 53. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he's at 53, they made hijrah. And he stayed in Medina for 10 years. So how, and then he died. So how old was he when he died? 63 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. This is important narration with regards to understanding this timeline. Okay? So 13 years in Mecca, receiving revelation. So far we see the first 3 years. What happened? In those first 3 years, he began seeing dreams, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they started coming true, just like he saw them. And then the angel came to him on Yawm al-Ithnain. On Yawm al-Ithnain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, and he received Iqra. And then after several days, he received a Mudathir. And then after that, Tataba al-Wahyu. Wahami, the wahyu started coming a lot. You know, verses here and chapters here and portions of the Quran here, all about Jannah, all about Nar, all about the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. The revelation started coming quickly after that. And then for these 3 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's calling the people left and right, and people are accepting Islam here and there. And also Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is calling the people, and they're getting harmed, and he's freeing slaves, and he's helping people, and other people are being tortured. Sumayya got killed radiallahu anha. We have one more narration, and that is the narration of Abi Qatadata al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. And this is in Sahih Muslim. And this is also with regards to this issue here. He said, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ سَوْمِ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ عَنْ سَوْمِ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاكَ يَوْمٌ وُلِدْتُ فِيهِ وَيَوْمٌ بُعِثْتُ أَوْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ. Naam, that this is a day that I was born in and a day that I received revelation in, or I was sent as a prophet in that day. Naam, in that day. So we see here, this narration clarifies the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was born on Yawm al-Ithnain. That has preceded. This is the evidence for that in Sahih Muslim. And likewise, he was sent as a prophet, or he received prophethood. I mean, he received revelation on that day, Yawm al-Ithnain. So therefore, the day that Jibril, he came, alayhi salatu wasalam, with Iqra, it was on that day, Yawm al-Ithnain, Yawm al-Ithnain. Wallahu ta'ala alam. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.